And it's going to take roughly about $1,400, well, $1,453 a week, totaling to $75,520 to support our missions. Right now, our goal was $83,000. We're at $80,296, and that will come to an end at the end of this month. We want to continue supporting the gospel going around the world. And so you want to pray about how God can use you. Everybody can do something. And everybody that is saved should do something. Amen. Just to be obedient to what God has said. Amen. Now, what you give is between you and the Lord. And we're not going to call out the missions police on you. Amen. Better known as the MPs. Amen. Of your army. That's how it is. We're not going to do that, amen, but we are going to challenge you to give as unto the Lord. So let's do this. Let's take your Bibles. We're going to turn to a very familiar passage of Scripture, and it's Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. And today what we want to talk about here is bridging the gap between the Old and the New Testament giving. Bridging the gap between the Old and the New Testament giving. We understand that we're not under law anymore. Y'all understand that, right? Amen. You're not under law anymore. So you don't have to give by law. Amen. But you should give by love. Amen. How many of y'all love your wives? You better say yes on that one. Amen. And because you love your wife... Oh, Bev's back there raising Carl's hand. Get that hand up there. Amen. Get that hand up. Amen. Carl's like, wait a minute. I'm trying to process all this. Amen. Because we love our wives, we give to them. Because we love our children, we give to our children. Because we love God, we should give to God. It's just the way it goes. Amen. So we don't have an outward law that we give by, but we do have inward love to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we should give. Amen. Malachi chapter number 3. And again, I want to talk about bridging the gap between the Old and the New Testament in our giving. And Malachi 3 verse 8, I want you to read that with me this morning. Here we go. Verse number 8 says, read it with me. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Father, bless now these next moments that we have as we tie this gap and bridge this gap between Old Testament and New Testament giving. Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us to understand what you want us to know this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Malachi 3:8. Again, let me preface this by saying this. If you want to build onto your home, do you take your mortgage money, your electricity money, your gas money, and use that to build onto your home? No. What would that do if you took your mortgage and your gas payment and your electricity bill? And your, what would that do to you? Katie?
You wouldn't have a home anymore.
That's right.
Hey, exactly. If you took that money, you would not have a home. They would dock you and take your home. You wouldn't have any electricity. You wouldn't have any gas. And so we understand the principle. You know, if I have something, I've got to have a second set of money if I'm going to build onto my home. Amen. Y'all with me on that? Okay. So if I'm going to build, I'm going to do any kind of thing, I've got to have a second set of money. You set aside a special set of money. And you do that willingly, or do you do that mandatorily? Willingly. Because you don't have to build. Brother Hall says it's going to be mandatorily. Amen. We will save this money. Nobody spend anything. If we're going to do that building, it's going to have to be willingly because we don't have to build. We already have a home. Okay, so it's voluntary. And so I have my mortgage money. I've got my insurance money. I've got my I've got all that money saved over here for my home. But if I'm going to build something else onto my home, I've got to have a special set of money. Okay? And that's pretty much what we're looking at when you begin to talk about missions. We understand the tithe. We understand what's supposed to happen over here. But then there's something over here that's happening in the New Testament that wasn't talked about in the Old Testament. And so we're talking about bridging this gap. Amen. Because it's going to be willingly. It's going to be voluntary because you don't have to do it.
That's right, Pastor. You don't.
You don't have to do it. But should we do it?
Yes.
Yes, we should.
Yes, we should.
Do we have to do it?
No,
we don't. But we should do it. And so that's the principle that we're going to look at today. Bridging this gap between the Old and the New Testament. Amen. And concerning the mandate on tithes and offerings given in the Old Testament, we must differentiate between the tithes and offerings of the Old Testament and what we're supposed to do in the New Testament. Amen. So let's take this thing apart here just for a few moments here. Notice down here in verse number 8, it says, "Will the man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." Of course, we know this was under the Old Testament law.
Yeah.
The tithe in the Old Testament was for the ministers, the ministry, and the maintenance of God's work. Would you agree with me? Amen. For the ministry, the ministers, and the maintenance of God's work. And it was primarily responsible for things inside the family of God. Y'all with me? Okay, so it's inside the family of God. Notice what it says here in verse number 9. "You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat" where? "In mine house." So we understand that the tithe was for things inside the family of God. Amen. So you and I, when you and I go to work, amen, we work for people outside our home, or do we work for people inside our home? We both, amen. We work for people primarily inside our home. We go to work and we get our paycheck, and it's for our house, it's for our insurance, our mortgage, all that. And so God said, "Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that it may be meat in" where? "Mine house." So they're being mandated by law to bring into the family of God for the things of God. And this is for the ministry, the ministers, and the maintenance of God. So that's what the tithe went for, the ministers, the ministry, and the maintenance of God's work. It says, "mine house." But notice in Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 8. He says, "Wherein have ye robbed thee?" Wherein have we robbed thee? The people are asking. And God says, "In tithes." Notice the tithes is plural. "And offerings." There were several types of tithes they were supposed to give there. "And offerings." Offerings. Now, is the tithe an offering? No.
No, it isn't.
No, they're different. So he says tithe is for the ministers, the ministry, the maintenance of God's work. It's for mine house. But then you've got the offerings in the Old Testament, which were sometimes voluntary and sometimes they were not voluntary. I'll give you a good example. Go back to Leviticus. Leviticus. Again, we're talking about tying or bridging the gap between Old Testament and New Testament giving. In the opening chapters of Leviticus, it is the instructions given to the priests of the Levitical tribe, and they were supposed to carry out the office of the priesthood. And in the book of Leviticus here in chapters 1, 2, and 3, God begins to give them all sorts of regulations on something that we would call an offering. Did they have to give these offerings? Sometimes they did. What's the stipulation on these offerings? They gave these offerings to be right with God.
That's right. They did, Pastor. They did.
So did they have to give them? No.
No.
What happened if they didn't give them? They weren't right with God.
Right.
Chapter 1, he talks about the burnt offering there. Chapter number 2, the grain offering that's there. Chapter number 3, the peace offering. Chapter number 4, the sin offering. And you go through your Bible, I'm sure you have these headings there. And they give stipulations on each offering. Chapter number 5 in verse 14, the trespass offering. Notice this one. "And the Lord spake unto Moses," verse 14, chapter 5. "If a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance." How many of y'all have sinned through ignorance? Amen. I've got my share. Amen. Most of us sin on purpose. Amen. But some of us sin on ignorance. Amen. He says, "In the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks with thy estimation by shekels of silver after the shekels of the sanctuary for a trespass" what?
Offering.
So an offering. And he said in Malachi, "You robbed me in tithes and offerings," plural. So there were several things that they weren't doing that they should have been doing. And so we see there's multiple types of tithes and multiple types of offerings. Now, this here is an offering that you want to do to be right with God here in Leviticus according to the Old Testament. The offerings in the Old Testament were sometimes voluntary and sometimes they were not. And they were primarily used for manufacturing more and meeting needs for things inside the family of God. Show you a voluntary one. Go over to Exodus chapter 35. Exodus 35. Now with this one in Exodus chapter 35, the question is, did they have to do this to be right with God? Like Leviticus, Exodus chapter 35. Anybody know what's going on in Exodus chapter 35? Anybody remember? Building the tabernacle, the place where they were going to meet with God. Exodus chapter 35, and notice what it says down in verse number 4. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying. Okay, now he commanded, saying, does God want this done? Yes.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he commanded it. That a command is something you obey. Mm-hmm. Verse 5. Take ye from among you and what?
Offering.
Did God command it? Yes.
Yes, he did.
Is it an offering? Yes.
Yes.
What type is it, though? He says, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a what? If you didn't have a willing heart, did you have to give? No. Willing heart, let him bring it and what? Offering of the Lord. Then he gives the stipulations down there of what will be required for the tabernacle. Come down to verse number 21. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made what? Willing. They brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation for all his service and for the holy garments. If I didn't give, was I still right with God? If I didn't give for this offering, was I still right with God? Why not? They were commanded to build the tabernacle. But was everybody commanded to give? Willing heart. So if I didn't give, did that mean that I'm not right with God? That just means that I didn't want to give.
That's right.
Yeah, willing heart. So I mean, I got a wicked heart. No. God put the stipulation out. He says, look, I have allowed them to plunder Egypt, and some people have taken things from Egypt. And so everybody that has something and they don't want to willingly give it up for the tabernacle, I'll use that.
Yep.
They don't want to give it up. We're not going to use that. So if I don't give, am I wrong with God? No, I'm not wrong with God. Because he says everyone is willing. Okay? So what are we talking about here? That there's tithes, then there's offerings. Some offerings were mandatory to be right with God. Some offerings were not mandatory. And it doesn't mean that I'm wrong with God. I can still be right with God. It's all in whose hearts stirred them up. So as we look at this thing here, there's some offerings here. There's some tithes here that we saw. And the tithes were for the ministries and the maintenance of God's work and the ministers. The offerings then were voluntary and sometimes mandatory, but it came for the manufacturing of more in the house of God and meeting needs for inside the family of God. That's the Old Testament. Are we square with that? Everybody's got that down? Okay. Because when we're looking at the Old Testament, they had this giving that was there. And they're being accused in Malachi of not giving certain tithes and certain offerings. And so it would be those offerings then that they weren't giving that they needed to give to be right with God. That's in question. Okay. All right. Keeping that principle, let's bring it over to the New Testament. Okay. Go to Luke chapter 11 and verse 42. So I want to bridge this gap with the Old Testament and the New Testament giving. Luke chapter 11. By the way, when you come over to Luke and the New Testament, as Jesus spoke, they were still under what? The law. Jesus died to satisfy the law. Luke chapter 11. And keeping with the Old Testament principle, notice what happens here. Luke chapter 11, verse number 42. The Bible says this. He's speaking about some of the things that the Pharisees were and were not doing. Right. So, but woe unto you Pharisees, for ye what? Tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and Passover judgment and the love of God. These ought ye have done, and not to leave the other undone. What's the other? The tithe. Yep. He said you should have done the judgment. You should have done these other things here, but not leave the other thing undone. So Jesus approved of the tithe in the New Testament. So we know he approved of that. And so to be right with God, we know as at a minimum, we should give at least a tithe.
Yes, sir.
Just to be right with God. If we're going to do that, Jesus said, that's good. We can do that. Mm-hmm. Now, by the way, is that all? Because you're reading New Testament, they gave a lot more.
Yes, sir.
Are we under law?
No,
we're not. We're under grace. What did this tithe go for here in the New Testament then? Be for the same principle. Ministers.
Yeah.
The ministry and the maintenance of God's work. Is responsible for the things inside the family of God. Come over to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17. Again, what are we trying to do? Trying to tie this Old Testament tithes and offerings and bridging the gap between the New Testament tithe and offerings or what our giving should be. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And notice verse number 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. And so there is a financial compensation that Paul is instructing Timothy to make sure that's in place. Again, what would this be coming from? The offerings of the New Testament church. And so that compensation is there, much like it was for the priesthood in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament as well. Y'all follow me? Amen. All right. So with that said, then, what would this giving be like? It would cover the ministries, the ministers, and the maintenance of God's work. Okay. Were there offerings in the New Testament giving as well? Yes.
Yes, sir, there was.
Yes, there were. There were. All right, let's show you some of these offerings. Amen. By the way, is the tithe and the offerings different? Yes.
Yes, they are.
Yes. We know the tithe is for the minister, the maintenance, and the ministry of God.
Right.
The offerings was to keep me right with God. Sometimes they were voluntary, sometimes they were mandatory. The New Testament, we still have the place of worship, the house of God, the ministry of God, and the ministries and the maintenance of the house of God. But then we have some offerings as well. All right. Offerings in the New Testament were for the same reason in the Old Testament. Manufacturing of more and meeting needs. Though they did not have facilities like we had, they still had needs to meet. So let's go over to John chapter 19 and verse 39. John 19 and verse 39. Again, this is just to tie together our Old Testament and our New Testament giving. John 19 and verse number 39. So far, everything financially that's coming in and being given stays inside the family of God. Would you agree with me on that?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Everything's been staying inside. John chapter 19. And verse number 39, this is the burial of Jesus Christ. Notice what it says in verse 39. There came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and bought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Is that an offering? Yes, it is.
Yes, it is, Pastor.
Did he give it? For something in the New Testament church era? Yes, he did. Did he have to give it?
No.
He willingly gave it. That would be considered a voluntary offering. Much like what they did in the Old Testament to build the tabernacle. This was voluntary. Nicodemus did not have to do this. Okay? So another example of a voluntary offering in the New Testament. John chapter 6 and verse number 9. All right, everybody following what we're talking about here. All right, just trying to make sure that we understand the stipulations and differences between tithes and offerings in the Old Testament and New Testament. They were virtually for the same reasons, just a different time. John chapter 6 and verse number 9. John 6, 9. Notice what it says here. Of course, we know this guy as the lad with the loaves. There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes.
Yes, sir.
But what are they among so many? Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves.
Yep.
When he had given them, given thanks, he distributed to the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Did this boy have to give his meat?
No, he did not.
Did he give his meat?
Yes, he did.
Who did he give it to?
Jesus.
And what did Jesus do? He multiplied it.
So
he didn't have to give it, but he did. And again, it stays within the family of God. These are all the people there listening to Jesus, trying to get a blessing from Jesus. And so, again, the New Testament principle of giving an offering here that's not voluntary plays out again. It's inside the family of God. I'll show you one last area here. Acts chapter 4 and verse 34. Acts 4 and verse 34. Again, as we approach this time of stewardship, we want to understand the difference between the Old and New Testament. The similarities are similar. Acts chapter 4, verse number 34. And this is making provisions for the New Testament church. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and bought the prices of the things that were sold. Did they have to do that? No.
No, they did not.
But what was the goal? That nobody would lack.
That's right.
So they went and sold what they had voluntarily. Did everybody sell everything? No.
No.
Everybody didn't sell everything. But some people did sell what they had.
Yes, sir.
Now follow me? Okay.
Amen,
question is, would you have sold yours? Maybe,
maybe not.
Long as we're not like Ananias and Sapphira.
Yeah.
Amen. Hold back part of the price. That's what you don't want to do. Amen. And look what it says down there. Laid them down at the apostles' feet. And what happened? Distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. What is that? It's a voluntary offering, much like it was to build the tabernacle. If I've got it, I don't have a problem with getting rid of it for this cause. They didn't have a problem with getting rid of what they had for this cause. Verse 36, Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, was being interpreted the son of consolation, the Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and bought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So Barnabas sold everything.
Mm-hmm. He did. That's what he did.
And what happened to Barnabas shortly thereafter? Huh? Or he got ordained, went to the missions field. Shortly thereafter, he sold it all. He went to the missions field. Amen.
Amen.
How do you think Barnabas survived on the mission field? Offering. Somebody had to give to help him out. He doesn't have anything now. He got rid of it. He said, I got rid of everything. But now if I'm going to be sent out by the church, somebody's got to give to help me out. I don't have anything. Paul said, I'm not ashamed to work. He said, but we should be supported. Amen. All right. So we see this principle here. These individuals gave up everything, much like the Old Testament ministry. This is still inside the family of God. Galatians 6:6 says it this way, let him that is taught in the word communicate or share unto him that teacheth in all good things. All right. So far, let's recap this. We've got a tithe in the Old Testament. It was for the ministers, the ministry, and the maintenance of God's word. And it was responsible primarily for the things inside the family of God. He said, "In meat in mine house." All right. Offerings in the Old Testament were sometimes voluntary, sometimes not voluntary, were for manufacturing more things and meeting needs. And it stayed inside the family of God. Bring that over to the New Testament. We have the same principle there. Tithe in the New Testament was for ministers, the ministry and the maintenance of God's work. Jesus approved of it. And it was responsible primarily for the things inside the family of God. Offerings in the New Testament was also for manufacturing more and meeting needs like in the Old Testament. Although they didn't have facilities like we have today, they were still giving to get things done, and it was inside the family of God. All right, now, pause there. That's where we stop at.
Yeah.
Is there anything wrong with that type of giving? Nothing wrong with it at all.
No.
Is it similar to Old Testament giving? Yes, it is.
Yes.
What is the stipulation and the governing guideline in the Old Testament? Is it law in the Old Testament or is it love in the Old Testament? Law. What is the governing stipulation in the New Testament? Is it law or is it love?
Love.
It is love. So now we're equated to the Old Testament giving, except they gave by law. We give by love. Now there is a third mandate that the Old Testament never, ever had. Who knows what that third mandate is that the Old Testament never, ever had? No, not so much that. They're dealing with what did Jesus tell us to do at the end of his missions? What did Jesus say? Go ye therefore and teach who?
All
nations. Did he say how to fund that?
No, he didn't.
Mark says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to who? Every creature. Did it say how to fund that?
No.
Acts says what? Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. Did he tell us how to fund that?
No.
So now we come to tithes and offerings, Old Testament, giving in the New Testament by way of tithes and offerings. But now we have a third thing that we have to do that the Old Testament never had to do. Is this our tithe? No. Is it our offerings to be right with God? No. Is it something for a burial or giving of fish to feed the 5,000? No, it's none of that because all that stayed within the family of God. Now we've got this third type of giving that the New Testament saints have. It's a different mandate from the Old Testament saints. It goes outside the family of God, and the Old Testament saints were never mandated to reach the world. So our tithes and offerings stay inside the family of God, whereas missions giving is used to reach those outside the family of God. They're not connected to you. You follow me? With the lad in that crowd, he was connected to everybody that was there. With Nicodemus giving to Jesus, he was connected with that crowd that was there. With the New Testament church in Acts chapter 4, they were connected there. The fine hours are going to Asia. Are we connected to Asia? Do we know anybody there? No.
No, we don't.
But guess what? God told us to reach them. And he didn't tell us how, did he? He just said, go.
Go. Yes, sir.
Now, if you have a lot of money, it's easy for you to go.
Uh-huh.
Brother, find out, are you rich?
Well, not monetarily.
Amen. So it's going to be kind of hard for him to go. If God told him to go, it's going to be hard for him. But wait a minute. God didn't just tell him to go. He told the church to go.
Church, yes,
amen. The Old Testament saints did not have any obligations to reach Assyria, the Ninevites, the Egyptians. They didn't have any. God didn't tell them to reach any of those folk. Amen. But now God tells us that we've got to reach some people. The Old Testament saints didn't have the obligation to reach the lost as mandated by Jesus Christ. They were concerned with their ministry, their maintenance, and their ministers, their offerings, and their givings that stayed within the tribe of Israel. New Testament saints have three giving opportunities: our tithes, our offerings inside the family of God to meet needs, manufacture more, and take care of the things of God, but then special offerings specifically designed to go outside the family of God. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And we're going to talk more about that in the morning message here, but let's just quickly go over to Matthew chapter 28. We just quoted most of these. Matthew 28, Jesus said in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach how many nations?
All
nations. Okay. Go over to Mark 16, 15. Because he doesn't tell us how to do it. Mark 16. Mark 16 and verse 15, Jesus says again the same command. And he said unto them, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to who? Every creature. Where am I going? All the world. Amen. Go over to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Now, of course, I could go to Luke and John, but I'm not going to go there this morning for sake of time.
Amen.
Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Notice what he says down here in chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. When you get saved, what comes upon you? Holy Ghost. Amen. So if the Holy Ghost has come upon you, if you're saved, this means you.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
All right?
Yes, it does.
Ye means you. All right?
Yes, sir.
But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in where?
Judea.
And where?
Samaria.
And where? Unto the uttermost parts of the earth. How are we going to get there?
Yes, sir.
By the way, does everybody want to go ahead and go to Asia with the fine hours and be a missionary? No? Nobody wants to go with them? Huh?
Please come.
Is it please? Hell.
Yeah.
Camper says he'll go. Amen. But yet and still, the Bible says we're supposed to do this together, simultaneously. Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, we're supposed to be there at all times. How can we do that? By missionaries.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
But guess what it takes? Money.
Yes.
Can we take our tithe and send them? No, that's like taking our mortgage and making sure that we set aside that money for our house.
Uh-huh.
Can we take these special offerings? No, we can't take those either because that's for a purpose as well.
Yes,
what do we have to do? We have to take a special offering for missionaries.
Yes, sir.
If we're going to get them out on the field. Amen. So what's going on here? Special offerings specifically designed to go outside the family of God. Everything else up to this point stayed inside the house of God. All right, y'all with me?
Yes, sir, Pastor.
The missions goes outside. The principle for grace giving is found in 2 Corinthians 8:9, which we're going to talk about this morning in Sunday school. We call it faith promise giving. And we use this principle to reach the world with the gospel and obey Matthew 28:19-20. The Old Testament saints did not have this equivalent. Their tithes and offerings all stayed inside the family of God. So we can't take our missions and apply it to Malachi 3:8 as an offering that I'm giving for missions, because those were specific offerings that were given for specific reasons. And they were never given the mandate to reach the world. We as New Testament Christians are given that mandate, and because we love God, because somebody gave us the gospel, we should be willing to help somebody else get the gospel. Amen? We should be willing to do that. Now, how much you give is going to be up to you. But you should give. Why? Because you love God and somebody gave so that you could get the gospel. Amen. By the way, I got saved in Calvary Baptist Church in Hershey's, Belgium.
Amen.
Now, guess what? Somebody had to surrender as a missionary to go to Belgium and be a missionary. His name was T.J. Tilley.
That's right, Pastor.
But wait a minute. Like the fine hours, Brother T.J. Tilley cannot afford to go to Belgium by himself and be a missionary.
Right.
Guess who had to send him to Belgium? A church.
Yeah, church had to.
Calvary Baptist Church in King, North Carolina.
Amen.
Some Christians there had to say, you know what? We know we got our mortgage. We know we got our insurance. We got our electric bill. We know we got that, and we know we're giving special offerings. You know, we gave to the preacher's birthday. We gave to this sister over here a new dress. We gave to this brother over here. Brother Tilley over to North Carolina. Now I got to get another set of money here because I can't take from my mortgage. I can't take from this thing that I'm giving over here. And so now I've got a separate thing that I'm going to give to send Brother T.J. Tilley over to North Carolina. Y'all follow me? Where did I say? I'm sending Brother Tilley to North Carolina. That's where he's coming from. Amen. North Carolina needs the gospel too. Amen. And so,
Belgium.
Over to Belgium.
There you go, Pastor.
Now, wait a minute. There's a little old boy from Joliet, Illinois,
yes,
and a young lady from New Brunswick, New Jersey, who recently got married and went to the military and got sent over to Belgium. And guess who we run into over there? Some folks from the church in Belgium.
Yes, sir.
I'm not affiliated to that. I didn't give any money for that. But guess what? There's somebody waiting for me.
Yes, sir, there is, Pastor.
And they gave us the gospel.
There is.
And February 3rd, 1991, we got saved.
Amen.
And because I love God so much and because I want somebody else to have what I have, guess what I started doing? Giving.
The gospel.
So that somebody else could go. You see how that works?
Yes, sir.
The fine hours are going to go back to Northeast Asia. And over there are going to be some people that need the gospel. And they're not paying for those missionaries. People back here are. What am I saying? That money doesn't stay inside the church. That money goes outside. Tithes and offerings stay here. But missions offering is totally different, and it goes outside. Everything else is here. That goes out there. And it's waiting for somebody. And then those same people get saved, and they start giving so that someone else can get saved, and it perpetuates itself. So we can't take our missions and apply it to Malachi 3:8 because that's all inside. The obligation to go outside never existed for them anyway. Furthermore, the tithes and offerings in Malachi always stayed inside the family of God. The New Testament missions goes to reach those outside the family of God. Go to Philippians 4 as we wrap this up. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And again, just want to tie our giving together and differentiate between Old Testament and New Testament and show the similarities. But this type of giving was never mandated in the Old Testament. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 14. Paul says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Means they shared their monetary gifts there. He says, now ye Philippians know that also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, think Paul departed with his own money? Probably not. No church communicated with me or gave me monetary gifts. No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Paul said, you guys were the only ones that did it. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Paul said, you guys helped me out. He said, not once, but you guys did it again. He says, not because I desire a gift. He says, that's not my goal. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He says, what you're doing in your giving is going to help the ministry, and you're going to have fruit abounding to your account as a church. And as you and I give to missions, we've got to keep that in mind. That's a separate pot of money from everything else. And it's specifically designed for missions. You won't find that in the Old Testament. The New Testament Christian basically has three offerings. Let's wrap this up. Here we go. That we can partake of. Number one, we should give at a minimum tithe, which is a mandatory thing of the Old Testament. And because we love God, we should give that. And we should do that out of love and not law. That meets the needs of the ministers and the ministries and the maintenance of the local church to get things done. Number two, offerings in the New Testament. And that should be done to meet the special needs inside the family of God and to manufacture more. We don't take from the tithe to do that. We take that as a special offering. But then lastly, offerings that should go outside the family of God to get things done, to reach people with the gospel, to be obedient to Matthew 28. That's a special pot of money.
Yes, sir, it is,
Pastor. Does everybody follow that?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Because
some folks will tell you, well, you know, we don't have to tithe and give these offerings like the Old Testament, and we don't.
Right.
But in the New Testament, you find the equivalent giving.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not by law, it's by love. It's not by an outward constraint, it's by an inward love. And so to reach the world with the gospel, to be obedient to the command that Jesus Christ gave, we get involved in the principle of faith promise giving.
Yes, sir.
Jesus said in Luke, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Do we have anything to do with those folks over there? Nothing except for God told us to do it. Do they know us? No. But the monies that we collect goes to them. It goes to people like the Fine Hours who have surrendered to be obedient to go and take the gospel where we can't go. And Paul said, hey, look, should we have to work? No, they shouldn't have to. Matter of fact, you probably can't work unless you're a teacher or something like that. Amen.
Amen.
And so as we wind this up, we're going to talk about our giving today in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, because that's where we get the principle from of grace giving.
Mm-hmm.
But just distinguishing between the two Old Testament, New Testament types of giving, I want to kind of give you the background and kind of show you where the giving was then, where the giving is now, and where the giving should be. Amen. So we're going to wrap this up and close out and go on for the glory of God. Amen. Father, thank you so much for showing us in your word what types of giving was there. And we're so thankful that we don't have to give mandatorily, but voluntarily. And it's not by law, it's because of love. Thank you, Lord, that you have saved us. And out of a heart of gratitude, we want to give back. I think about Belgium, the Calvary Baptist Church there, the many souls that made Brother Tilly or allowed him to go to Belgium. Souls that I will never see except for in glory. But they gave so that we could be saved. And thank you, Lord, for that church and those Christians in that church. And each one of us, I'm sure, could give the same testimony. Thankful that someone invested so that someone could start a church so that we could be saved. Lord, we're eternally grateful. And out of that eternal gratefulness that we have, help us to give back just a bit as you direct willingly that others may hear the gospel like we heard it. Bless now the Fine Hour family as they continue on their journey. Thank you for our refreshments across the hallway. And Lord, help us to enjoy this break time. And Lord, listen to your word. Speak to our hearts, Lord, more as we look more at grace giving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.